Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel on the entire internet. Let's get straight to the docket. First, Lori Vallow's attorney must go. He knows just enough criminal law to be dangerous. Second, an example of why you have to watch what your kids are doing online. Third, favor or routine disposition. Fourth, LA District Attorney George Gascon reverses course on his big ideas. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. First, if you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. First on the docket, Lori Vallow's attorney must go. He knows just enough criminal law to be dangerous. Now, it's been no secret that I have been less than impressed with Lori Vallow's attorney, Mark Means. And let me explain why. From the first time he made his appearance and he made his bond argument, and then he filed for a new bond argument saying that somehow jailhouse calls were listened to that shouldn't have been, that were attorney-client privilege. And it turned out it was basically no big deal, that nothing was listened to. Mr. Means at that point did not impress me as someone who was very familiar with the law as it relates to bond. Even if you thought that the jail had listened to your attorney-client calls, the remedy is that, guess what? Those calls can't be used by the prosecutor because it'd be attorney-client privilege. It didn't require, and the remedy is not a dismissal of the case or one receiving bond. It makes no sense. I really can't believe that he made that argument with a straight face. The one thing that impressed me that Mr. Means was maybe figuring something out was that he waived his client's right to a preliminary hearing because Lori Vallow's husband, Chad Daybell, through his attorney, Mr. Pryor, actually did a pretty good job. And frankly, it's not like the case was going to go away. We've talked about the standard at preliminary hearings, and it just simply says that there's probable cause that a crime has been committed and this person may have had something to do with it. Bottom line, of course the case is going to get bound over. These motions now saying that there's not probable cause are both going to be denied. And then what's even more surprising is that Mark Means, who waived the preliminary hearing, obviously with the approval of his client Lori Vallow, is now filing motions saying he needs additional time to file motions regarding probable cause. Well, he waived his right to a preliminary hearing, and now he doesn't get to challenge it. That's why when you waive things, they are forever gone. So he's not going to prevail on that. And then as of last week, December 16th, Mr. Means files a motion basically asking that the prosecutor be dismissed. He says that he is accusing Mr. Wood, the prosecutor, of not only unethical conduct, but he goes as far as saying that there was criminal conduct. And I've said this before, I think Mr. Means may have some issues with the Bar Association when this is done. You do not go threatening another attorney like that in pleadings unless you have a silver bullet, a smoking gun. And we talked about this last week, the transcript that I have received of this call between Mr. Wood and a couple of witnesses in this particular case. We talked about it last week. I went over it again this weekend thinking, am I missing something? So I went through it again. And although it's not on the public filings, there is a declaration of attorney Garrett Smith. Garrett Smith represents Summer Shiflett, and that was one of the conversations that was recorded. Now, obviously, we don't have all of the information, but based upon what I have seen, I am of the opinion that there is nothing there to disqualify Mr. Wood at all. Now, Mr. Garrett files this affidavit saying that he had an interview with Robert Wood. It occurred on or about October 1st of 2020, and that the conversation was in fact recorded. He states that he turned over the recordings to Mr. Means, and at some point, Mr. Garrett Smith contacted Mark Means to say that he thought that there were some inappropriate comments made during this interview. Now, I'm surprised if this took place back in October, and if Mr. Smith was so outraged, did he immediately call up Mr. Means? And so sometime in October, we would have filed this motion. Well, he delayed until December, because based upon the tone of the motions filed by Mr. Means, it would appear as though he just learned of this particular information. Mr. Smith states in his declaration that immediately upon realizing the gravity of Mr. Wood's comments during the discussion with my client, I contacted Mr. Means to report unprofessional statements made by Mr. Wood about Mr. Means. Mr. Means asked for a copy of the recording, and after receiving advice from the Arizona State Bar Attorney and the consent of his client, that he in fact turned the recordings over to Mr. Means. I also note that in his declaration in paragraph 9, he says that the attached transcript appears to be not an entire transcript of the recording provided Mr. Means, but the first 18 approximate minutes of said recording. So obviously we have to take everything with a grain of salt because we don't get everything, but we can certainly, I think, deal with what we have. So I went back through, like I said, to see if I missed something. Is there something in here whatsoever? Now, I'm going to talk about this, but you can go to scottreich.com and you can read the entire transcript for yourself. Let me know if you think there's anything in there that warrants disqualification, that arises to unethical conduct, or even amounts to witness intimidation, as Mr. Means has alleged. As you can see from this transcript, Mr. Woods is introducing himself to Summer Shiflett. Ms. Summer Shiflett is Lori Vallow's sister. And as he goes through, he is doing what most prosecutors do, dealing with people that are considered witnesses and potentially have a stake as it relates to being a victim, since her niece and nephew were killed. And as you go through, Mr. Wood simply explains that, hey, I have a job to do here. And basically everything that we've learned is something happened to your sister there, Miss Shiflett. We're not sure what it was exactly. There was some life event, but we think a lot of it had to do once she became involved and started listening to information regarding this religious belief that was being offered by Chad Daybell. Lori Vallow's sister agrees. When Mr. Wood says, everyone says that she was a great mother and something happened, Miss Shiflett agrees. He goes on to state that he actually believes that Chad Daybell is a very manipulative person. Miss Shiflett agrees. And that's on page 2 of the transcript that we have received, not counting the cover page. Mr. Wood goes on. Remember, this is back in October. He says, and unfortunately, we do. We have enough evidence to prosecute him. We do. But the case against your sister is stronger. But I just kind of just want to give you like that background. That's the kind of context that we see with this guy. Came in here and, you know, making excuses for everyone, but kind of blew up this situation and he didn't care who died. Summer Shiflett agrees. Mr. Wood says, who got hurt? He didn't care at all. All the one thing I can tell you is, your sister truly believes that everything she's done has been done in righteousness. Summer Shiflett, I know. Ms. Summer Shiflett says that 100%, that's my interpretation also. I think she's 100% believes, and that's referring to this LDS speak. Mr. Wood states that every once in a while, you kind of see a little crack in like a jail phone call. And then Summer Shiflett says, well, you've heard our conversations too. You know that. I get that she's not fully aware of what she's really done. Mr. Wood says, right, yeah. Summer, I don't think she is. Prosecutor Woods then says, yeah, I mean, I'm going to say this. I think that she knows what she's done. Summer Shiflett, she knew enough to lie to us about it. Mr. Wood then goes on and says, but this case is, we need to understand the context of who these people are. And so that's a lot of what they're going to ask you about. Summer Shiflett, okay, I'll do my best. I mean, like I said, it won't be easy. I know it's going to be hard to be a hard interview. Summer Shiflett responds, I was wondering if you would be willing to tell, if you'll be able to tell me if there's any progress in what you know about Tylee and her death. But is there any progress on her autopsy where you understand better? Mr. Wood says, all I can tell you, Summer, I mean, do you have any cause yet or do you know? Mr. Wood says, she's at the FBI state-of-the-art crime lab. Unfortunately, there's a lot of diseased bodies there that they'll be going through. Summer Shiflett, I'm sure. And so we're not. We don't know really anymore yet. We may never know due to the destruction of the body. And yeah, we hope we'll find out. We may not, but obviously we know it's her. There was tissue that was still preserved enough to do DNA testing. One of the key points that comes out of this conversation between the prosecutor and Summer Shiflett is that when Mr. Wood says, and we mean our hope is it comes to your sister actually made some overtures. She might be willing to talk with us. Summer Shiflett, I hope she does. I pray for that all the time. Mr. Woods then said, we hope she does. She actually was talking about with Chad about talking with us before we found the bodies just a few days before. And he talked her out of it. So I think the significant thing is, and Mr. Means doesn't seem to get it, is throughout this conversation, Mr. Wood is relaying that although Lori Vallow is definitely guilty, he believes that she has been somehow manipulated by Chad Daybell. He even at one point calls him a wimp, says that he's basically a real wimpy guy, but when you confront him about anything, he's just a wimp. Now, once again, Mark Means has tried to say that this was unethical and even criminal conduct. Now, unless there's something missing from this transcript, which I don't think there would be, because why would that transcript be submitted along with the attorney Garrett Smith's affidavit and not include the rest of it if there's still some smoking gun? My guess is it was nothing but dead air on the rest of that recording. Needless to say, there's nothing there. And as I stated in our introduction, Mark Means needs to get off of this case. He knows just enough to be dangerous. And why do I say he should get off of it? One, there was some talk that if murder charges were brought about, that this is a potential death penalty case. Mr. Means is not qualified to handle a death penalty case. And those aren't my rules. Those are the ABA rules as it relates to death penalty cases. No one would go into a death penalty case if charges were actually filed for the murders of Tylee and JJ, but you certainly wouldn't want that to be your first felony case, as it came out that Mr. Means has never handled a substantive felony case in his career. Why is this important? It's important because Ms. Vallow, if convicted, would claim and argue almost immediately, if she lost any appellate issues on any post-conviction relief, that her attorney was not qualified. And when you have the district attorney basically having to agree or say that he is not a competent attorney in this area of law, it would make it as such that she would more than likely be entitled to a new trial. So to avoid such a circus and a mess, the court should more than likely find a way to ask Mr. Means to quietly remove himself from this particular case. Perhaps a type of situation where if he goes away, maybe we don't need to report these matters to the bar. Oop, guess what? You're still going to have to report them to the bar. I think what he did was not right, and I believe he's going to have some serious problems with the Bar Association when this matter is resolved. But I think he needs to go and go away now. Next on the docket, why you need to be monitoring what goes on your child's social media. Take a look at this case. A Virginia man who is an advocate for pedophilia, was arrested Monday at Denver International Airport on a misdemeanor charge of harboring a minor after allegedly kidnapping a 12-year-old Fresno girl that he met in person earlier that day. But guess what? They had actually been talking on the internet, on social media. This individual's name is Nathan Daniel Larson. He's 40 years old, and he had actually traveled to Fresno, California from Washington, D.C. He was actually arrested on a layover here at DIA. Although Mr. Larson was arrested on a misdemeanor charge here in Colorado, he is facing felony charges in Fresno County for kidnapping, child abduction, soliciting child pornography from a minor, and meeting a child for the intention of sex. As I stated, allegedly, Mr. Larson met his victim through social media in mid-October and coerced the young woman into running away with him. On Sunday, Larson flew to Fresno from Virginia and then traveled to the girl's home. Around 2 a.m. on Monday, this is last week, police said Larson arrived at the victim's home in Fresno in a ride-share vehicle, persuaded her to sneak out of the house. He also asked her to wear a long wig to alter her appearance. He also told her to act as though she was disabled and unable to speak to ensure she would not converse with anyone at the airport while making their way on to the airplane. Investigators also witnessed Mr. Larson allegedly touching the victim inappropriately while at DIA. Police officers assigned to the local FBI task force located Larson and arrested him. The girl was uninjured and made arrangements to be reunited with her family back in Fresno. This just shows you, you have to monitor what is going on with your kids and who they are talking to online. Now, this guy, take a look at him. He actually ran to be a member of the state assembly in Virginia. There's his little campaign photo. Doesn't he look so nice? Well, look at his booking photo. He doesn't look as so distinguished now, does he? And let's face it, a 12-year-old girl has no interest in a 40-year-old guy. It's just not a thing. This guy is sick. And guess what? This guy was previously arrested and served a prison sentence for threatening President Obama with harm. So he is quite a catch. So I don't know what to say about Mr. Larson. Obviously, we'll give him the presumption of innocence, but he is going to need himself a good attorney. Now, if you've never gone to crimetalksearch.com, now is the time to do so. So guess what? You can actually search, that's right, your own kids if you needed to find out with whom they are speaking with on the internet. Or maybe you find a name on your kid's phone and you're not sure what it is. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report that's going to give you this person's social media information. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. It could save somebody's life from being in a situation like this young lady was, where she was literally coerced and kidnapped by some 40-year-old pervert. Next on the docket, favors or routine disposition. Now, a niece of President-elect Joe Biden will serve probation but no jail time for a Pennsylvania DUI crash which appeared to cause no injuries. the much-blahooed punishment for Caroline Biden, 32, is far from legally suspicious, according to several attorneys, and including this one. In fact, what happened was a run-of-the-mill case, and I would agree. According to the court records, the niece of President-elect Biden, Caroline Biden, originally faced three counts: DUI, involving a controlled substance and an impaired ability as a first-time offender, driving without a license, and a careless driving charge, which is pretty common in a DUI case where somebody hit something like Ms. Biden did in this particular case, which was a tree. In exchange for her plea to the DUI, guess what? All the remaining charges were dismissed. According to the court records, Ms. Biden will only serve 5 months on probation with 20 days of rehabilitation, counting towards that sentence. So clearly, Ms. Biden has realized that perhaps she has a substance abuse issue, and therefore the prosecutors made her a deal. Now, some may say, oh, she got a pass on this particular case. I think that this is a very standard disposition, as many like I have seen over the years. Now, where it may seem like Ms. Biden is getting a pass is that she's had some previous trouble with the law. Back in 2015, she was actually charged with a felony after she borrowed a credit card and racked up, guess what, $110,000 worth of purchases at a Greenwich Village pharmacy between April 2015 and June 2016. She was ultimately arrested back in 2017 on those charges. She avoided a felony by pleading guilty to a misdemeanor, paying back the money she owed, and she did some community service. She reached a deal and said that nothing like this would ever happen again. She also had a little trouble back in 2009 regarding a dispute over a train fare. Now, one could certainly argue that she's had lots of breaks, and there may be some addiction factors at play here. But once again, I don't think that there is anything of significance about this case which would show that Ms. Biden received a favorable disposition just because her last name is Biden. You be the judge. You let me know if you think it was favoritism or just run-of-the-mill DUI. I think it was run-of-the-mill DUI. Now, next on the docket, the newly elected and recently sworn in District Attorney George Gascon has reversed course on some of his sweeping changes that he announced that were going to take place earlier this month. In a memo, Gascon said, effective immediately, he would allow deputy DAs to seek sentencing enhancements for hate crimes, child abuse, elder abuse, sexual assault, sex trafficking, and certain financial crimes. Wow, isn't that amazing that Mr. Gascon would want to basically punish people that commit violent crime, abuse the elderly and the infirm, as well as people that abuse children? Wow, Mr. Gascon, the fact that this was even an issue is a little surprising to me. When Mr. Gascon came into office, he said he was going to reform criminal justice, which apparently meant there was going to be no punishment. Let me tell you something that I learned a long time ago from a very wise defense attorney. We were chatting in court one day, and I was complaining about how I just couldn't get this district attorney to budge on a case that, frankly, wasn't that serious. This very wise criminal defense attorney looked at me and said, Scott, go tell him there's rape, there's murder, there's violent crime, and everything else. And everything else should be able to be resolved short of trial. It dawned on me. He's absolutely right. Why is that? Because when you go to most big city courthouses, what's on the docket every week? Murder trials, sexual assault trials, violent crime. Those are the ones that have to be resolved. Those are the ones that have truly affected. And I'm not minimizing the things that you know, somebody breaks into your car and they steal your stereo or they steal money from you. Those are all very serious crimes and they can affect people tremendously. But when you have violent criminals, our criminal justice system throughout history has always tried to take care of the most dangerous and to make sure it is the harshest punishment because, yes, although the state has a duty to rehabilitate, they do have a duty to punish, all right? And that's just the way it is. And so Mr. Gascon coming in here thinking that if everybody just gets a big group hug, it's all going to be okay and everything's going to be fine. I'm telling you, as a practicing criminal defense attorney for 25 years, and I've said this before, there are bad people in the world. They should not have their constitutional rights abridged simply because people think they've done bad things. You have to go through the process. You have to give them a fair trial. And then once they're convicted, and then if there's appeals, they get their punishment. But Mr. Gascon may need a little reality. When the 800 prosecutors, and not all of them, but many of them, 800 prosecutors in his office, which makes the LA District Attorney's Office the largest in the country, push back on your decisions, you may want to talk to a couple of people that are important. Oh yeah, the line district attorneys who are actually keeping the bad guys off the street. Oh yeah, and maybe talk to some of the victims. See how they feel. See how if their dead child is going to come back if we all have a group hug. It's going to make it all better. No, it's not. And I think that's what's wrong with a lot of this criminal justice stuff. And I'm not talking as a defense attorney. I'm talking about as a member of the community. As a member of the community, some of it is outrageous. Bottom line, okay? I'm a criminal defense attorney. I believe in the Constitution. But I do not believe that there are no bad people in the world and that no one deserves to go to prison. Mr. Gascon, I hope he figures it out as well. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. But quickly before we do that, let's announce the winner. Now, we had some tough competition and the voting was very close. We had Mr. James Watts. He's the gentleman that videotaped on Snapchat his 2-year-old drinking Smirnoff Ice, as well as Mr. Sweet, the man who allegedly robbed a McDonald's with a chainsaw. They were tight. It was neck and neck. But ultimately, the winner is Mr. Watts. He is our dumb criminal contestant of the day. And guess what, Mr. Watts? Now you are going to be a recipient of a Crime Talk mug. It won't be of your choice because, hey, this isn't Burger King. You can't have it your way. You're going to get what I send you, but congratulations. Now, on today's docket, please meet Shirley Rogers. She was arguing with her boyfriend when her sibling sought to defuse the situation. However, that attempt failed. The victim told investigators that while she was trying to calm the defendant, Miss Rogers, take a look at her photo there, that she was pushed in her chest, and then Miss Rogers grabbed a Christmas cone and struck her in the torso with the holiday adornment. The arrest affidavit notes that the weapon was a beaded cone tree used for decoration. That's right. Miss Rogers should be lucky she's not charged with a felony. Look at that thing. Do you think that thing could cause serious bodily injury or possibly even death? Yes, she could have. Poke that in somebody's eye, stick them in there, get a scar causing permanent disfigurement. Bam, suddenly you are headed for prison. Well, in this case, Miss Rogers was only charged with misdemeanor battery and booked in jail and posted a $500 bond. Now, of course, if she was in LA, she could have got a PR bond from the district attorney, Mr. Gascon. And obviously, we will give Miss Rogers the presumption of innocence and we'll let you know how her case turns out. Hey, thanks for watching. We appreciate you taking the time to do so. We will be going live tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Please join us. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for watching Crime Talk.